Hymn number 351, Talents of Jesus. Hymn 351.
Take it to the Lord in prayer. bulletin yet, just slip up your hand real high. We'll make sure that we get one out to you. And if you open up to the first page, you'll see our service times listed there. As always, Sunday morning, 10:30, Sunday afternoon, 4 p.m. Wednesday night, 7 is our Bible study. We're in chapter 22 of the book of Isaiah. This week, we've got the soul winning opportunities listed there, as well as the salvations and baptisms through the month of August. Let's go ahead and count up any salvations to report for the week, anything that was done. Yes, Devin?
Born yesterday.
Yes, and Brother Carter?
One on Tuesday.
Yeah. Tuesday, amen. I got a little worried. I didn't see you for a little bit. I'm glad to see that you're here.
Yeah, all good.
Everything's all good. Was there anyone raising your hands over here? I couldn't tell. All right. Yes, sir. One on Friday. Awesome. Amen. All right. Is that it for the salvations? Very good. Keep up the good work out preaching the gospel, taking every opportunity that you can to give the gospel to people. Even if it's not just going out door to door, but just every opportunity you have, seize those opportunities, and that's what it's all about. Down there at the bottom of the page, we got the offering totals listed through the month of August. Prayer requests, I tried to clean this up a little bit, but the big thing to point out here, and if I missed anything, let me know, because I don't know what I did with my bulletin from last week. Is there anyone that added a prayer request here that's not on the list? Didn't think so, but I lost my bulletin, so that's what I work off of. I think we're good here. Continue to pray for everyone. Is there any updates for anyone that's on this list? Micah, how's your mom doing? Is she still having treatments?
Well, not treatments.
Is she done with the treatment? Because she only had to do that for 30 days, right?
But she's having like burn marks.
Is reacting from the... Okay. Yeah, I think it depends on the person, but that's not always the case, right? But it is with her. Is there any expected permanent damage from that or no? Do you know? You don't think so? Okay, good. So continue to pray for Brother Micah's mom, Carrie, and because she's done with the treatments, but that does take a big toll on the body. So let's pray for her recovery there. And she, there's nothing has been showing up. Like, I assume they. She still has to do. Yeah, well, they're gonna keep monitoring too as well. But there's one more test coming up. That's kind of a big one after the treatments, right? And then. Okay. Anyone else have any updates on the prayers? Well, down there, you'll notice at the bottom of the page here, the churches and pastors, we added more. So I want to explain this a little bit. Usually, we just pray for one church and pastor. During the week, but this one we're going to continue to pray for sort of Spirit Baptist Church. Their church has, a lot of people have gotten COVID at their church, and I know one lady in particular, if you're in the WhatsApp group, you saw that is not doing very well at all, so pray for them. And honestly, this is a time of year that things kind of went through our local area and the church last year. And it seems to be similar this year. I don't know. So take that for what it is. You know, if you're not feeling well, if you think that, you're sick, just it's better to play it a little bit safe and stay home and catch a live stream. And if you feel well, come back to church. I've got a couple kids at home. Nothing big at all. Just some sniffles, some sore throat. Mild fever, but they're at home because of that. So just try to, you know, pay attention to that. We obviously don't want disease spreading through church, but obviously at the same time, I'm not all for the draconian measures either of trying to live in a bubble and whatever. So I do plan on getting, along those lines, I'm going to be publishing a document up on our website for anybody who might want to point to some religious exemption type material for vaccines. If your employer is going to start mandating or enforcing that, some people are, especially if you're in a medical industry, they're doing that. And if you're opposed to that, if you agree with the church's stand, if you agree with the doctrine, then definitely point to that. And if other people are looking for that reference, you can point them to it as well. It's not up yet, but I plan on getting that done this week and having that available as a link, probably right on the homepage of the church website. At least for the time being, it'll be right kind of up front where people will be able to see it pretty easily. Just because it's crazy what's going on with all of that. And you'll be able to check that out. I'll let you know when that's completed, but that's the plan. And then, so they're having that issue at sort of Spirit Baptist Church. And you know, it got to the point where they canceled services because everybody was pretty sick. So pray for that church. And then pray for these two churches. Pastor Kevin Sepulveda is pastoring Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia, and New Life Baptist Church in Queensland. And the measures there are insanely restrictive. So I saw a message on Facebook the other day that they're asking for prayer because, I mean, they haven't been able to hold church or even go soul winning. They've got like a 9 p.m. curfew. You're not even allowed to go and like visit family members. Like you can't even go to someone else's house, even if they're family. There's, you know, all kind. I think they said they're requiring vaccines for their employment. And, you know, it's affecting, I think he said, the vast majority of their church is now impacted by that. So it's like, you're not going to be able to work. You're not going to be able to do anything. You can't leave your house. You can't go talk to people. You know, this is what's going on in Australia. And Australia, like, doesn't even have some massive outbreak, supposedly, or anything. Like not even saying that. But at least according to the numbers, that's not what's happening. So it's insane. So pray for their churches. You know, pray for the people there that will that oppression will cease on those people, and definitely keep them in your prayers. He can't, Pastor Sepulveda can't even go travel now from the one church to the other, because those are, you know, Australia, those different, they're like states, right? And he's not able to even travel from Sydney to Queensland. So that, you know, there's all that problem, all those issues going on. I think it's been going on for a while, but I don't know if things just got worse or not. I haven't been keeping up with all the, you know, restrictions in Australia, but that's a big deal. It's very significant. I know the Philippines had some really, really severe restrictions as well. They had lifted, but I don't know if they've gone back that direction again. I think they were going back that direction. So just be in prayer. Thank God that we're not there, and we don't have that here, I should say. Not that we're not there, but, you know, speaking in the sense that the government here isn't where the government is in Australia. They're not to that point yet. So thank God for that. But pray for those that are being afflicted by those measures, because it is just utter absurdity. On the next page here, so we're still in the month of August. I know that today's the last day for the church visitors, bringing visitors to church challenge. Who has brought at least one visitor to church this month, in the month of August? 1, 2, 3. We're talking first-time visitors. I count 3. I know we've had more than that, so I'm missing someone. Maybe someone's not here that had brought visitors. I know one of our newer visitors brought a visitor. And they got baptized. That was like one of the first weeks that someone had visited us once, I think, then came the next week and brought a visitor. That might have been Christian. I don't know if he'll be coming back or not. He was going to school out of state, so I'm not sure if he's coming back or not. But I want to make sure I get everybody accounted for, because you're going to get a small prize for the August challenge. But then you can see here, we've got the September challenge. I'm not giving out prizes for this. It's kind of not it's not that type of a challenge. But the whole challenge for September is a church attendance, where we're going to be focusing on making sure that you're getting into church just as often as you can. Obviously, I say as often as you can, making it a point. There's always a reason why people can't go to church. And I put that in quotes. Sometimes it's legitimate and real, of course. But oftentimes we make excuses for ourselves as to why we can't be in church. So I want you to think about that this month and see if you can at least make it a point to say, you know what, no, I've been slacking, you know what, we need to get in church more, whatever the case may be. And I know we have people driving from all over the place, but what I always do when we do this challenge is I recommend and I, you know, hope that you can find somewhere to attend if it's really far, you can only make it here on Sunday or for one service or whatever because of the distance. We appreciate you coming here. We love you coming here. We want you to keep coming here. Try to find something, if you can, that you can attend in person near you. And you know what? If there's nothing there, if you say Pastor Bersons, there's just there's no body of believers in my area that I can make it to. Okay, but I mean, the point is to you know, try to find something. Maybe look again. Use this month to see if there's anything out there you might have missed. And you know, I'm not offended if you go to some other church. Like, the whole point is to get in church and try to learn something. It may not be, you know, the ideal church or the best church, but just by going and putting in that time, I think it's valuable to go and do that. So the church attendance challenge, 3 times a week for the whole month, that's the challenge. And hopefully we'll see a lot of people participating in this challenge. We've got the upcoming events listed there, where I added one more event there to the middle. So this has been growing and growing. The gingerbread house making activity, we do that. We try to do that every year. That's scheduled for December 4th this year. It should be a Saturday. And we have, and then notice, I'm gonna skip ahead of it real quick. On the back is the homeschool field trip list. So instead of doing homeschool field trip in December, it's going to be the gingerbread house activity. But you can see the schedule there. We have sign-up sheets, and I'm going to need I'm going to have to require that you sign up for these events if you want to attend. Okay, the sheets are on that table right by the window for the mother baby room, and you just need to put your name and how many people are coming, so that we can accommodate that and plan for that. And some of these, there's more details on the sign-up sheet for like the times and the addresses of these places. So a lot of these, two of these, Tiny Town and Tellus, we've done before in the past. But I know that there's some things scheduled at the Tellus Science Museum, some programs and some tours and things like that that are scheduled. So just check that out, and I'll give you a little bit more details, or maybe my wife will, on if you're planning on attending these, talk to my wife, because she knows more about this than I do. Her and Mrs. Mosteller have been coordinating these events. So some of them will include lunch or some food, and others won't. It's not always easy to deal with that and plan for that on a big scale. So if you're planning on attending these events, just be prepared to pack a cooler and bring a lunch to just be able to feed yourselves and your family, right? We're offering these events to be able to do this, but logistically it's not even always a good use of time and resources to be able to just feed everybody that comes. So but that's going to be dependent on a lot of things with the actual event itself. If there's a, If there's an easy, convenient way to get food and it happens to be during a time that would include like a lunch hour or something like that, then yes, we'll be providing that. But sometimes you're going off to places where it's kind of rural and there's not close food around anyways. And honestly, my wife's not gonna make like pack lunches for everyone in the church to go to a homeschool field trip. That's gonna be on you to do that for yourself. I think it's very reasonable. So that's the plan with that. I'm glad to even get these started again. They're always a lot of fun, and appreciate everybody participating that does homeschool here. And let's see, we'll go back to where we left off. Like I said, if you have any questions on any of those things, then you know, talk to my wife, talk to Mrs. Mosteller. They've been instrumental in getting those things going. Bible memory passage. So I had a count of 7 people who finished John chapter 8, the whole chapter. If you finished and you know, let me know. I've heard from a few people already. We've given out one prize, and I've heard from 2 other families on how they want or when they want to use theirs. So let me know what you're planning if you earn that prize and of getting the stay for at one of the state parks. Let me know what you're planning, so then I can coordinate. If you don't know the dates or exactly or whatever, that's fine, but just let me know what you're thinking, what you're planning, as early as possible, and we'll get that figured out, because there is a little bit of work that we need to do to get the points allocated to the people. And we do, they do us a little bit of a favor. I think we're not supposed to be able to do all of that, but since we've spent so much money with them, they kind of are open to doing that and helping us out. So but it requires a lot of time on the phone to kind of get that taken care of. So not a big deal, but just let us know so that way we can make sure that you get your time and dates and everything set up the way that you want it, and that it's not, you know, that there's still sites available and everything else. So just remember there's a lead time is what I'm saying, right? So if you find something online today and go, oh man, we want to go on this day, and then you say, well, Pastor Burns, we need it on this day, there's going to be a little bit of time before like that actually happens. So just be aware that there may be that gap of saying, oh, well, now there's not there anymore. So the earlier you get it done, the better. And we'll do our best to help you out with getting those prizes. We've got the new Bible memory passage, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. So this is not a very difficult passage. It's much easier than John chapter 8, for sure. You get a prize being able to quote this word perfect, and you got 6 weeks to do this. This is it's kind of a lot of time to do a shorter passage, so hopefully we'll get to see a lot of people participating in this one. Upcoming birthdays and anniversaries, we've got a lot in the month of September. Is there anyone that has a birthday or an anniversary in September that I missed? Don't be shy. I apologize if I missed it, but our records are pretty good. Brother Jesse, I don't know if I got your family's information yet.
Yeah, we don't have any birthdays in September.
Okay. We'll have to figure that out. We'll get with everyone. I have pretty much everyone updated, so I think we'll be good on that. That's about it for our announcements this morning. So I'm gonna ask Brother Peter to come up and lead us in our next song.
All right, church, if you can open up your hymnals to song number 356. Number 356, I must tell Jesus. Hymn 356. On the verse, I must tell Jesus.
Help me. He ever loves and cares for his own.
while the offering plate is being passed around, if you can open up your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20. That's the book of Proverbs, chapter 20. And as we do customary here at Stronghold Baptist Church, we're going to read the entire passage, and I'm going to ask Brother Devin if he could please do that for us.
That was Proverbs chapter 20. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after bows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked, and bringeth the weal over them. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this chapter. I pray that you would bless our service now, and bless Pastor Burzins as he comes up and preaches for us. I pray that you would give us all ears to hear now, and hearts to understand, and in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Bookmark there, flip back if you want to Deuteronomy chapter 25. That everybody should already have settled and established, except, you know, as is the case. Sorry about that. Thank you, Brother Brian.
So I was saying, you know, the truth that what I'm preaching on this morning is real simple. It's something that it's not going to be shocking or anything to anyone. You probably already have this established as far as it being true and right. But the reason why these things need to be taught and preached, you would say, Pastor Burzins, I know this. This is like kindergarten level Christianity. This is something that everyone should already know. It's true. It's true. But like with all sin, right, sin creeps in. We have a way of justifying sin, and we need to hit even some of the most basic topics just in repetition, every so often, every year, every couple years, whatever, and just, you know, when it comes, as far as from the pulpit, you should be getting this in your reading to be able to analyze and just look at our lives again and see, am I allowing certain sins to start to creep in? Am I allowing my behavior to become a little less godly and start to turn maybe towards a direction that's not good? Or our flesh is always going to be driving us into sin, so we need to be paying attention to this. And what I'm preaching about this morning is a false balance, what the Bible is referring to there in Proverbs 20. We're going to look back at Deuteronomy 25. I'm going to read for you from Leviticus 19. Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law, basically. It's a reiteration, but I'm going to show you that it's in both of these places. You're going to stay in Deuteronomy 25. But the Bible commands us that everything that we do, as far as measurements and weights, and when you're dealing, a lot of this has to deal with business, right? When you're saying, I'm going to give you so much money or so much time or so whatever it is, I'm going to provide you with this much material, and it's this long, it's this many yards, it's this much weight, that you're honest when you do those things. You say, that's so simple, right? It is simple. But how many people are deceptive and use guile in business and in their life and are always trying to just get that little bit extra out of people and feel like you got one over, feel like you're winning just a little bit more, and you ended up at the better side of the deal than they did because you kept back a little bit, you shaved off a little bit here, you shaved off a little bit there. Look, it's wicked and ungodly. And we're going to get into some more examples of that, but I'm going to read you just what the law says. God's law says in Leviticus 19:35, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meteored, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah. An ephah is a unit of measure. A just hin. A hin is another unit of measure. It's old terms. Just think of a just pound, a just gram, right? A just liter. Right, whether it be a volume or weight, these are all. That's all this is. This is using units of measure. Shall you have? I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, shall you observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. That's in Leviticus. You're in Deuteronomy. Look at chapter 25, verse 13. Verse 13, the Bible reads: Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. So what does that mean? Having different weights. Basically what this means is, think about a balance or a scale. In old times, you know, and the concept doesn't matter as far as, you know, you still need to have just scales today, regardless of it's digital technology or whatever the technology is that you use to calculate a unit of measure. Doesn't matter. The concept is still the same. What the Bible's teaching here is there have these old scales, right? It's a real easy way to do it. Your center point of mass on a rod, essentially, that's going to pivot, and you've got things you can hang on this side and things you can hang on this side. And how do you know that they're equal? Well, when they are level, right? If one end's dipping down and the other side, that means this side's heavier than this side, right? It's so easy to understand. Simple concept. But what people would do, and think about this, it makes sense. You would have a standard. If you purchased a weight, a whole scale. I'm going to purchase a scale so I could do business at like a cash register, right? People are doing business. They used to weigh out money because they would use precious metals, silver, gold, copper, whatever, you know, whatever it was that was precious or semi-precious, they would weigh it out because that's how much you're going to get. And you had to put that amount against another counterweight that you already knew how much it weighed. Right, so that would be your standard. So you have a bag of weights, and you can have them all labeled, right? This is 1 gram, this is 5 grams, this is 10 grams, or whatever, and you pull out whatever is appropriate and say, okay, I'm selling you this device, and this is gonna cost, you know, this is gonna cost you 6 grams worth of silver. So you get your little 5 gram and your 1 gram, and you put it on this side of the scale, and then you say, okay, put your silver on there until it weighs out. easy concept. This is something that was done and still done to this day. It just changes its form a little bit. But the concept is the same, because what people would do then is they would have, you know, that 5 gram, that 1 gram, say, well, these are your standard. They would have 1 5-gram that was actually a little bit more than 5 grams, and one that was a little bit less than 5 grams. And depending on the situation of whether they're receiving something or they're giving something, they would use one or the other just to put it in their favor, right? So, well, this one's just a little bit less than 5, right? It's real close. No one's going to know the difference. No one's going to see the difference. But it's just a little bit off, so that way every time I'm just getting a little bit more. I'm winning on this deal, right? They're giving me what they're supposed to be. They're actually going to end up giving you a little bit more, and I'm giving them a little bit less to balance those scales out. And everything looks like it's legitimate. Everything looks good, but the person who's doing the deceiving knows that it's not true. And again, you know, whether we're using physical scales or not, it doesn't matter. It's probably even easier to trick people nowadays with digital scales, to go in and have a tear weight in there that no one can actually see. It's going to only start reading up to this much or whatever. I mean, people have been deceiving people forever in this regard, because ultimately it boils down to a love of money. Now, this is important because there's a lot of applications that you can make with this, and this concept of just making sure that everything is just and honest. Let's keep reading here, though. Verse 13 is the only one we read. Verse 14 says, thou shalt not have in thine house divers measures, a great and a small. So again, whether it's a weight or whether it's a measure, you know, oh, here's my yardstick, but it's actually like a little bit more than a yard, a little bit less than a yard. Same concept. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. So God's saying, look, when you cut those corners, when you cheat people, when you do these little tactics to deceive people and to cheat people out of their money, God hates that. God says, that's an abomination unto me. I hate when people take advantage of other people and deceive them. You say, oh, but it's just a little bit. Oh, no one's going to know the difference. Look, God knows the difference, and God says it's wicked and unrighteous. It's an abomination. And if you find yourself getting involved in practices that are kind of deceptive like this, and you're untruthful to people, you know, there's going to be many ways you're going to try to justify it in your own mind to make you think, well, it's not really that bad. Oh, it's not really that big of a deal. Oh, you know, no one's going to know. But God knows. And God says it's an abomination. And if you want your days to be lengthened in the land which God gives you, then you're not going to do that stuff. And what does that mean? If you do these things, it means your days are going to be shortened. It's a nice way of saying God's going to wipe you out if you give yourself over to these practices. If you start doing these things, God's going to say, look. And you know, this is just the beginning. Because where it stems from, the real root is the love of money. And the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And when you're doing evil, you're doing evil when you steal from people.
Yes, right.
You're hurting them. When you're taking more and not giving them as much as is agreed upon, whatever, that's, you're stealing from those people, and you are, in a sense, you are injuring those people. Now, there's many reasons, obviously, to do what's right. God said to do what's right. We need to have a good testimony, a good witness. Everything that we do should be on the up and up and above board. You're going to be targeted and attacked just because you believe the Bible already. Because you're claiming to be a Christian, because you're going out and doing work, you are going to be attacked. The last thing you need is to now have someone be able to drag your name through the mud because you're not doing things on the up and up. Because you have this unjust measure. This, you know, and people say, oh, but I just have that as a prank, right? Look, don't have it in your house. Turn back, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 20. This, it's a big deal, being deceptive in your practice and your dealings with people. Proverbs 11:1 says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Proverbs 20, verse 23, the Bible reads, divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. So whether you're messing with the weights or whether you're messing with the actual balance itself, because you could also do that. You could have one end of the balance, just, you know, have it tapered a little bit just so you can't see the difference that puts off the center of gravity, on the center of mass on that thing. You know, there's so many different ways to cheat the person, to cheat the system, right? And to make it look like everything looks okay from the surface, but it's really not. Deceptive practices. And the Bible says repetitively that this is an abomination. Jump up to verse number 10 there in Proverbs 20. The Bible says, divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. I mean, this is just mentioned over and over and over again in Scripture. Jump down to verse number 17, though. The Bible says, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. So bread of deceit, right? You're getting this, you're earning your bread, right? You're earning your food, you're earning your money deceitfully. The Bible says that could be sweet to a man, right? That's sweet to people take oftentimes extra thrill or extra satisfaction in the sense that, oh yeah, they thought I gave them this much, but I really only gave them this much, so I win, right? It's a mentality a lot of people have. Just feel like I win, you lose, I tricked you, I didn't really give you everything that I said, out, you know, whatever the deal is, I came out a little bit better than you did. Now that thought itself is wicked anyways. It goes completely against a Christ-like attitude and mentality. We ought to be looking for everybody's mutual benefit, right? All good, honest business is, hey, I've got a service or a product for you, and you've got something for me, and we could exchange this stuff, and we're both the better off. Because I'm providing something for you, you're providing something for me, we're all happy. This is good, right? But when you start adding that deception and lies to it and taking advantage of people, that's not good anymore. Bread of deceit. People think that they're doing so great, and I've heard people brag and boast about how much money they've made off of being deceptive. And there's, like I said, there's many ways to apply this. Think about, I mean, just about any industry, every industry, has this potential. Anytime you have someone offering a service or a good that another person doesn't really know that much about, there's a potential to take advantage of people, to be deceitful with them. One of the first things that pops to the top of probably many people's head is the auto industry or car industry, where people have a problem because so many people have automobiles. You have a problem with your car. A lot of people don't know anything about how their vehicles work. They don't know they don't know how things go inside, how the oil works. They don't know how the pistons work. They don't know how anything works inside of an engine. So when they bring in their vehicle because there's something wrong, it's not running right, they bring it into someone and have to have some level of trust that what they're going to tell you is actually the truth, because if you want them then to fix your vehicle, do a repair for you, then they're going to, you know, quote you a price, everything else. Just not knowing enough about that, it's easy for someone to go, wow, this person, you know, even through conversation you can pick up, wow, this person doesn't really know what they're talking about at all. Here's an opportunity for me to make a little extra money. All I got to do is tell them, oh man, yeah, here's this problem. We could fix this, but there's this problem and this problem and this problem. And you need blinker fluid and you need, you know, all this other stuff. And people just, I don't know what that is. Okay, if you say so, if I need that, yeah, it's not safe if you don't, you know, if you don't get this done. Then they pay them that money for fraudulent charges, you know, fraudulent services or whatever. Or they do a bunch of work that didn't really need to be done, because they're being deceitful. And think about your industry. Think about your area. Y'all probably know of ways that that can be done, whether you're dealing with a customer directly or how about dealing with your boss? Because there's also ways of being deceptive on what your end of the deal is on your job. You know, when you get hired for a job, you're getting hired, you agree upon your salary. You agree upon your payment, right? Because when you go and apply for a job and they say, okay, here's what we're offering, you have an opportunity to negotiate at that point before you say, okay, good. We don't shake hands anymore, but you accept an offer or whatever, you go to work for somebody. You agree that that's what you're going to do. I'm going to work for you, and you're going to pay me this much, and you're compensate me however the compensation works, right? Once you do that, now you have an obligation to provide your service for that employer. And you know what's dishonest? It's milking the clock. You're getting paid by the hour, by set, whatever the case may be. You're getting paid to get this work done. And especially if you're getting paid by the hour to do some work, you're supposed to be working during that time. Usually there's time set up. Okay, you could take a break at this time. You could eat food at this time. And the rest of the time, you're working. Now, I don't care if everyone around you is not working. If you work in a union and there's five people assigned to dig a ditch, right? Why don't you be the one that's digging the ditch? Do some work. Right now, obviously, there's situations where you're kind of being told to do something, but then there's really nothing to do. But always find work to do. Okay, here's the thing. You need to be honest. You need to be able to approach your job, your situation going, one, okay, if I'm being paid to do something, then I better be doing that and not shaving a little bit off of my weight that I'm putting on here for my side of the balance, my side of the scale going, well, you know what? And look, I know plenty of people have done this, and I've been guilty of this myself in the past, okay? We had a system where when you punch, it would round to every 15 minutes at a place I worked. So what that means is you get paid by a quarter of an hour. It was all hourly work. And instead of paying you up to the exact minute that you worked, the system was, okay, if you work to say your shift ends at 5, right? But if you're still working, if you're working until 5:07, it's as if you only worked until 5. But if you work until 5:08, it's like you worked until 5:15 or really until like 5:22, right? Because that window, plus or minus 7 minutes around that time, like the 5 o'clock, so minus 7 minutes to plus 7 minutes, it's all the same thing as to how you would get paid. Okay, that was the system. So what did people do? You hang around and you'd wait around until 5:08. And you punch out at 5:08 because that gives you that extra 15 minutes. Every day, that extra 15 minutes. And that's overtime, that extra 15 minutes, 15 minutes, 15 minutes, 15 minutes, 15 minutes. You know what? It adds up, and that's wicked, and it's wrong. And it's an abomination in God's sight. It's gaming the system. You say, but everybody's doing it. That doesn't make it right. Look, you work until you're done working, and then you clock out. Now, if you're legitimately working, and you've got, and you know, there's no problems with you working extra and getting paid extra, whatever, and that's the agreement, then that's fine to work extra. But my point is, you shouldn't be looking to game the system. You should be working until your job is done, and then you clock out and go home. Right. If it's 5:01, 5:03, 5:08, 6:37, whatever. Right. You work, your job's done, you clock out, you go home, and you're honest. You say, this is when I stopped working. And don't worry about doing these little tricks to just win a little bit more. Oh, but I'm not getting paid enough. Well, you agreed to work there, and you don't have to. And that's the beauty about working here. You know, you've got right to work states, which means you have the right to go and work somewhere else. And they have a right to employ you or not. I mean, I think that sounds pretty good, and I'm not going to get into all the political issues behind that, but it's just, if you want to work, then do the job you say you're going to do. That's right. And don't complain later going, oh, they're not paying. Look, work harder. I don't know. And if they're not going to pay you, then find another job. Work for somebody else that will pay you. But people these days, they just want to demand and force a wage that oftentimes companies can't even afford to pay. Anyway, I don't want to get off into all of that because I want you focused on what you are supposed to do in the eyes of God. What is right and just in God's eyes? You know, if there's injustice going on from an employer, God will deal with them. And in fact, if you want to make sure God's going to deal with them, then you keep doing what's right.
That's right.
Because when God sees injustices going on, especially among his people, and when his people are doing things right, and they're just being humble, being meek, working hard, doing what they're supposed to be doing, and people keep piling on them and misusing them and abusing his people, then God is more and more and more likely to start acting and acting swiftly to change that and to right the wrongs and right the injustices and to stand up and defend you. Because God sees all of that, and we just need to trust, hey, these things, they're not right, but I'm not going to be abominable in God's eyes and start cheating and recompensing and revenging something that's being done on me. There's so many ways that you can do that. I mean, I've heard of people that in different industries, in like mortgage, trying to sell people stuff they don't need, car loans, oh, you need this and this and this, and just, you know, there's a difference between selling and being deceitful and having deceitful practices. There's a big difference, okay? And sometimes you might not be able to find that line, but I'll tell you what, you need to be able to find that line because you don't want to be abominable in God's eyes. There's nothing wrong with trying to sell people products and services. There's nothing wrong with that, but you cannot be deceitful in it and tell people they're getting whatever, that you have to get this or, you know, whatever. There's a lot of fine lines, and people want to toe that line just to get an advantage. And it's wicked, and it's wrong to try to just be looking to scam people just to make a little extra money. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 16. I think you're still in Proverbs 20. Just flip back to Proverbs 16. And you know, like I said at the beginning, everyone in this church, before I even started preaching, probably would agree, yeah, we're supposed to be honest. We're not supposed to be deceptive. We're not supposed to be trying to steal from people or cheat from people. But we need to have God's word reiterated, because what happens is you see patterns out in the world. You'll see other people doing certain practices, and you'll see them maybe start to flourish and benefit from it. I've seen tactics, and you know, I'm not going to talk about my current job because that's not appropriate, but just with different things happening in sales and people taking things from other people and just doing things that are just not appropriate and not right just to earn that little bit extra money and end up doing things that are just dishonest gain. And the reason why I have to go over these things, though, is because everybody, you get to a point where you think that what you're doing is right. Oh, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. You justify your sin. Look at verse number 2 of Proverbs 16. The Bible says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Oh, yeah, I'm not doing anything wrong. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. That's why I love, you know, it even uses that word weighs, right? He's weighing the spirits. Well, he's putting you in the balance and saying, are you really just? Are your ways really clean? Here's cleanliness, and here's you. Right? This is God's going to weigh your spirit. God's going to know whether what you're doing is just and right and legit or not. Jump down to verse number 6 there. Bible says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. I mean, just that concept alone, being true. Truth. Don't we all love the truth? Isn't Jesus the truth? Shouldn't we be exalting the truth? Well, when you're being deceptive in your practices, it doesn't seem like you have a high regard for truth. And I mean, all these examples now are pouring in my mind. Think about people in jewelry business, you know, because there's supposed to be a certain weight for the, and that's literally closer to what the way things were then as far as giving weights and stuff. And I mean, there's so many. This happens in every industry and every business where you can be deceiving people for your own gain. Let's keep reading here. Verse number 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better, and I love this verse. This was one of my, I had this verse up at my work for years and years and years in Arizona. Verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. It's a good verse to memorize. It's a good verse to have, like at your, especially if you work in an area where it may be more prone to deception. Keep this verse with you. Better is a little with righteousness. It's better not to get that extra commission, not to get that extra piece, that extra money, whatever it is, because you would have to do it dishonestly. It's better to have a little, but you're righteous. You can say, I did everything right. I did everything above board. I haven't deceived anybody. Then great revenues without right. So yeah, but I can make all this money. So what? So what? You're going to sell out? You think money's worth it? Sell out your integrity? Sell out your honesty? Sell out your testimony? Do you want to be known as that, you know, slime ball, we call it the used car salesman type of a person that nobody trusts? I don't want to be that guy. There's plenty enough of those guys out there. I don't want to be that guy. It's better to have a little bit less with righteousness and great revenues without right. Verse number 9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. Jump over to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, look at verse number 6. The Bible reads, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Again, it's not all about money. Your life isn't all about money. It's not really about money at all. We don't need to be putting that emphasis and focus on thinking that we win if we have a lot of money. People put their stamp of success on someone who has a lot of things or a lot of money. I heard from some friend of a friend, whatever, that would, you know, that had this philosophy or mindset that the man with the most toys wins. That's how he lived his life. That's to me, that's pathetic and sad and miserable. Because if that's what you think is winning, if that's successful, that's so empty. Yeah. It really is so empty. And I'll tell you this much. As someone who has been blessed in many areas, things do not provide any real value or meaning to your life. I possess some things. Now, granted, a lot of them are kind of beat up and broken down and whatever, but I have some things, right, that maybe other people don't have. You can have a little bit of fun, enjoyment with it, but you know what? That is not satisfying just in itself. If I didn't have those things, who cares? It's really empty and meaningless. And hopefully you realize, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, and they think that they could get rid of that empty feeling once they finally achieve something by getting something. Well, I just must need to get something more, then I must need to get something bigger. Well, I need to get a bigger boat and a bigger house and bigger cars and big, you know. It's never gonna, if that's what you're looking to be able to say, look, I'm successful because I have all this stuff. You never will achieve it. You'll never have enough because you're focused on riches of this world and money and those things. There's no satisfaction in that. At the end of the day, there's nothing. Because that stuff all breaks down and ends up costing you a whole bunch more money, and you know, you got to deal with all this stuff and whatever. It's a big waste. It's a big waste. Doing, you know, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that's what's going to provide the satisfaction, the peace, the joy, the comfort. And that's what we need to be focused on. And that's where true success is. True success is doing what God would have us to do and receiving rewards at the end of the day that are not going to go away. They're not going to burn up. They're not going to be taken away. They're everlasting rewards that God gives you. We're in Proverbs 28. Look down at verse number 7. The Bible reads, "Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor." Now, another means of unjust gain. Unjust, obviously, the balance is being off, ripping people off, scamming people. But even just charging usury. Usury is interest. Okay, the Bible says that that's wicked too. That's an unjust gain. The Bible says that you're not supposed to, if a brother or sister in Christ is on hard times and they need some money and they need, you know, you're going to lend money to them, you know, lend unto them. That's great. You know, if you have the means and they don't, you know, love them by lending unto them. The Bible says that you're lending unto the Lord, that God loves a cheerful giver, and when you're able to help people out in that manner, then that's great. But you know what you don't do? You don't charge them interest and say, okay, well, you're on hard times, so I'll lend you the $1,000 that you need right now, but, you know, there's going to be 5% interest on that. There's going to be whatever, any amount. I don't care what the amount is. 1% interest. It's a great deal. No one's giving you that because you're a brother in Christ. Look, well, you know what? You're wicked by charging interest. Not looking to make profit or gain off of your brothers or sisters' hard times. Yeah, but I could make more money if I had this. Well, is that what it's all about? So you care more about making profit than you do about helping people in need? That's pretty messed up.
Yeah.
That's very messed up. You check your heart. Jump down to verse number 18 there in Proverbs 28. The Bible says, "Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain person shall have poverty enough." Look, you do your work, you do an honest day's work, and do that job, and you'll be filled. You'll have plenty. God will provide for you. And there'll be enough. You don't need to be going after vain people, unjust gain. The Bible says in verse number 20, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." Again, the person who makes haste to be, they want to get rich quick. And we want to get rich quick. There's a lot of scheming involved in getting rich quick. And you're gonna be doing things that are not right, that are not godly, and cutting corners instead of just working faithfully, working day in, day out, just like God, you know, just like a seed is planted, it takes time for it to grow, it needs to be nurtured, you need to put in work, hard work, it'll end up growing, and eventually, one day, it'll be real fruitful and abound if you're taking care of it. You know, that's the way that we need to view our work and the blessings and what we need to do is just, hey, work hard. Work hard. Don't cut corners. Don't deceive people. Don't try to get rich quick. And we shouldn't even be focused on just getting rich with the goods of this world anyways. Just work hard and trust that God's going to help you and take care of you and provide for you. Do what you're supposed to do and do it honestly. Verse 23, he that rebuketh a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same as the companion of a destroyer. You know, there's people who steal from and rob from their parents. I mean, how wicked is that? I knew someone a long time ago, back when high school years, right around that time, where he would actually just steal from his parents. And that blew me away. I wasn't even saved, but it's just that blew me away, the thought that you would like go and steal from your parents. Like, what is wrong with you? Yeah. Well, the Bible says here that whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, because they didn't think they did anything wrong either, this guy I'm thinking of. It's like, it's this entitlement mentality. Oh, well, I deserve it anyways. They should be giving it to me. I'm just taking what's mine or whatever. That's wicked, and it says the same as the companion of a destroyer. Turn, if you would, to Micah chapter 6, and we're going to close on this. Micah chapter 6. We're going to see God's judgment on the people that use wicked, false balances and that operate in this manner. Because we need to remember. We need to remember God's judgment, God's law. And to make sure that in whatever area this applies to us, because this applies to everybody, in one way or another, one fashion or another, this applies to everybody. Are you trying to sell something, right? We buy and sell used cars. You know, we have our whole marriage, my wife and I, because whatever, for a lot of reasons. But, you know, we've had different vehicles that have had problems. And it's an area where people are always not wanting to divulge the information. Why? Because they want to get as much money as they can for what they're selling. They don't want to tell you what's wrong with it. And I'm going to tell you this, because there's probably a lot of people who have been in this situation. First of all, if you know something's wrong with the product you're selling to someone, it's deceptive to not disclose that you know there's a problem here that could cost them a lot of money. But you're trying to sell it with the value as if that's not a problem. That's deceptive. Furthermore, whether the person you're selling it to is an actual person who you can see, oh man, they're going to be impacted by this, I better not do that, or a business who also, you know, will be damaged by not having, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can't just say, oh, well, that's a car dealer, so who cares? You need to be honest in your dealings. You need to be upright. Because when you're not, it's an abomination unto the Lord. Yeah, but if I don't tell them, I mean, they're not going to look for it. They won't know about it. I could get an extra $2,000 for that car. Yeah, go ahead and be deceitful then. Go ahead and be an abomination unto the Lord. Get your unjust gain. I'm sure that's going to go real far for you with God's blessings. Because I'll tell you what, you think you get ahead. And here's the thing, as a child of God, you're held to a higher standard in one sense because you're his child, right? God isn't going to go around disciplining and beating people who aren't his kids. They're going to end up in the lake of fire one day unless they get saved, but he's not dealing with them as his children. But he's dealing with you as his children. So you might be able to see other people getting away with stuff and they seem like everything's going good. Don't have that wicked thought of looking to wicked people who do wicked things and saying, oh, well, they're getting away with it, so it's okay for me to do it. No, it's not. Because however much money you think you're going to save and you're going to get over by deceiving people, guess what? God's going to find a way of making sure that comes out. Yep. And you don't actually receive of that, and you'll probably end up even worse. Right. It's not worth it. Right. Don't do it. Look at Micah chapter 6, verse number 9. The Bible says, the Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable. Again, scant means it's not quite enough. Like it's this measure, but it's not quite there. It's coming up short. It's scant. And just as we saw in Proverbs and in the law, it's abomination to have to not have the right measurement. Verse 11, shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. And this goes to, you know, people who are using the wicked balances and unjust gain and everything else, they're going to be covetous, and that love of money is the root of all evil. It's going to lead them into being, you know, getting into other sins and being more willing to damage other people and be full of violence because of that. You know, it starts with something small. It starts with being subtly deceptive. But that's going to grow and grow and grow. Because that's what sin does. Sin's like a cancer. It's just going to continue to spread and get worse and worse and worse if left untreated. The rich men thereof are full of violence, verse 12, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore, also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, in making thee desolate because of thy sins. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but shalt not deliver, and that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil, and sweet wine, but shalt not drink wine. He's basically saying, you're going to be doing all this stuff now, and you're not going to benefit from it. Because you've been deceitful, because you've done this wickedness, you've had wicked balances, now the work that you do, it's not going to produce for you. And you think God's not capable of making that happen? You better believe he can. You think things are going great, you're getting all this money because you're cutting corners left and right and making these shady dealings and deceiving people, and wow, everything's going so good, that could change in an instant. And if you're a child of God, you better watch out and get right with God right now and repent and start doing things on the up and up. Because you do not want to be on the receiving end of that chastening because you've got a bad report and you're being deceptive. We ought to love the truth. Exalt the truth. Be honest in all of your dealings. And just take the moment to think on your life, your day-to-day, what you do, you know, whatever it is, and make sure you're doing things justly. Let's bow our heads, have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your word. We need these reminders, Lord. We still have the flesh that we have to deal with that's going to drive us and try to lead us into sin. And I pray that you would please help us to just continually be in your word and have your word living through us and in us to guide us and help us to, when we get to those crossroads and the decision points, when that temptation of wanting to make a little extra money at the expense of being dishonest and deceitful, dear Lord, I pray that you please help us to bring these verses to remembrance and that we would be strengthened to make the right choice every time. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one last song before we're dismissed. I'm going to ask Brother Peter, if you please do that for us.
Church, we're going to sing a hymn called I'd Rather Have Jesus. I'm going to have Brother Lindsay pass this out.
him, I'd rather have Jesus. So much for coming. You guys are dismissed.